fell heaviest and too often tragically on the houseless population. One group taking matters into their own hands to get food and warm clothes out to people living out in the open is Free Hot Soup. We are joined today by two members of Free Hot Soup, Jennifer Schuyler and Greg Liascos. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Can you first start off with just giving us a rundown of what Free Hot Soup is and does?
Free Hot Soup has a couple of different parts of the organization. Some of our members, some really adorable people, they make soup and they take it to Director's Park and other places on a regular schedule, so the people who are hungry know where to go. And then they serve it in the public space. They tend to take things like blankets and, you know, hygiene products from time to time. And then there's the mobile. The mobile goes to the places where people can't get out. One of the things to understand is that with the economy changing specifically in Portland, we have flooded out the bottom several layers of earners. So a lot of the people that we serve, you're going to find are elderly people who are not drug addicts. They're not gang members. They're not criminals. These are elderly people who are on a fixed income of, say, $800 a month. At $800 a month in this current rental economy that's changed so drastically in the last few years, these people can't even apply to rent a studio apartment. They can't. They won't be accepted even at their application level. So they live in a tent. And then we have sweeps that come, and they're ODOT sweeps, they're county sweeps, City of Portland sweeps. These sweeps, they go and they take their tents away while they're out foraging for medicine, for money, for anything, for food, these elderly people. They take their tents away. So the other night in the ice storm, we were out until midnight, and we were serving a soup that Jennifer here made. And we found three elderly gentlemen over 65 years old. Their tents were taken away during one of the recent sweeps. While they were gone, all of their belongings except for what they had on them gone. Some good Samaritans had brought them some new sleeping bags to sleep in, and they were sleeping under that bridge. I won't say where. I'm sorry. But they were sleeping under a bridge in a single wet sleeping bag with flowing water under them, trying not to die. And this is what we've brought. This is what we've built. This is what we've allowed the city to build for us. And this is why everybody's stepping up now, thank God, and they're helping. So Free Hot Soup tries to fill in all of these gaps that the city and the county and ODOT and everybody else isn't filling out. We have a new mayor. I have hopes. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
About how many people do you generally serve with in one outing?
My outings?
Mm-hmm.
40 to 100, depending.
Oh, wow. And what does an average shift look like?
I work all day. And at the end of the day, we gather what supplies were provided, made for us, or we made it for ourselves and provided ourselves. A lot mm-hmm. of times it's out of pocket, and that's true. We take a cooler that we've warmed up with hot water first and cleaned as well as we can. And we put 3 to 6 gallons of hot soup in it. We put a bin with some men's pants, a few women's articles of clothing, some layering products, sweatshirts and sweatpants, clean socks. It's really important, clean socks. So if people want to donate, clean socks and tents. Tents are so hard to get. Mm-hmm. And ODOT keeps taking them. It's ridiculous.
I wonder where they go.
They go by the knife of the people who show up to sweep. Oh, they slice the tents open. They throw the belongings into the garbage, regardless of what the weather conditions are.
Mm-hmm. How many of there are you in this organization?
Too many hundreds to count at this point. Mm-hmm. The Oregonian ran a recent article that was very helpful. Mm-hmm. It bolstered our numbers, but we've had no real central organization. One of the things we're hurting for the most is regular volunteers. There is more food available to us right now that rots before we can distribute it. But there aren't enough tents. There aren't enough people. There aren't enough cars. We have no central storage location to be able to sort through all of the coats and the blankets that we get to try and put the band-aids that we do try to put onto the problem that's been created by the city and by the county and by ODOT.
kind of more internal organizing so that you could...
Yeah, we're fighting really hard to do that right now. Mm-hmm. I was just in an hour-long conversation with Wendy Bukowski, who was in here last night, mm-hmm. and we're trying to figure out exactly how it is that we can best serve the volunteers that we have to then best serve the community at large.
Oh, wow.
So you asked how long... like one of the mobile runs would be, it varies. So on a good weather night, maybe 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours. And then during the storm, it was taking a lot longer to get around the city and to people were closed up in their tents. And so instead of coming out to the truck, basically we have the cooler and then supplies like hand warmers and blankets and socks in the back of a truck. Greg generously drives often. Mm-hmm. And we'll roll up to an encampment and open up the back of the truck and get out and call, free hot soup. And then during the bad weather, go up to the tents specifically and sometimes even check to make sure that people were still living. And so then we dish up the soup, and then if they have any specific needs, we ask, what can we do? What do you need? And we'll often either find a way to post something on Facebook if there's something specific needed, like a tent, or if we don't have those supplies, we'll make sure to make note of it and then communicate with the group. Primarily, all the communication seems to occur through Facebook groups. So mm-hmm. it's social media at its best.
Do you have regular spots that you go to, or do you just kind of go where you notice that you're needed at that moment? Or
every crew has their areas where they're very familiar with. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Wendy Bukowski mentored me into free hot soup. Mm-hmm. And our area that she showed me first was the area around OMSI and Lower Division, under MLK, under all of the bridges. So I'm very familiar with where everybody might, hide a couple of tents. And there's a lot of reasons why different people would hide different, encampments. Some of the encampments have, the frightening, dangerous people that you see, in the public view of their opinion on what homelessness actually is. But that's not what it really is. That's some of the people. But that's not even half of the people. That's certainly not all of the people. And it requires the ability to know where these people's encampments are hiding so you can go in and try to service them. And in this terrible storm that we just had, I personally pulled three or maybe four people who were very obviously experiencing hypothermia out of their tents. Not physically, you can't make anybody go, but, through persuasion. There was a veteran that we had a long Facebook thread on. Took me 10 days with a badly busted foot to get him out of his tent. He was alert and aware and young and just no mission, no structure around his life anymore. His family, he lost his family. And he came to Portland and he's living in this tent. And he was doing well when I first saw him, except his foot was broken. And he has bad PTSD from his service in Iraq. And we weren't serving him, our community. It took me 10 days to get him out of his tent. And I was able to manage to do it by providing him with a new, not broken tent, his was broken, and putting him into a different homeless community where a friend of mine, who works for me from time to time, watches over the people around him, is another Detroit goon, but a really sweet guy, And he takes care of all of the people and all of the dogs and all of the things. His name's Paul, anybody who knows Paul. So Paul's taking care of our veteran friend now. Another one of our veteran friends sat with him at the hospital, Allison, for a long time and took him in for the night. And we managed to get him replaced. And now he's almost healed up. And every time I see him when we take him soup, he says, "I'm almost ready for my next mission, sir." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
He was really at the point that Greg was able to extract him. He had actually really resolved that he was going to die. I think he had given up on life and on his situation, and really wasn't feeling like he had any reason to be continuing on this planet. So it's really powerful to be able to sit and visit with him, you know, and he's alive. And yeah, we're going to keep looking out for him.
Well, thank you for doing that. Having been on the ground during the weather crisis and for many months beforehand, what do you see as the most basic fundamental changes that the city should implement to help people living on the streets?
The city has to recognize that the economy in Portland has flooded out the bottom several levels of income earners. These are good people. These are just not wealthy people. And the way the city and all of, you know, our current civilization functions is based on glorifying wealth. And wealth, money, is not the thing. So these people are living on the streets. They're living in cars. They're living in boats. They're living in people's basements. Mm. I'm very close to being one of those people myself, and I work very hard. I think I'm fairly smart. It's hard out here. It is. It's very hard. The city needs to recognize that those levels have been flooded out economically, and they need to provide new situations for those levels, not individual people specifically, but those levels as an entirety. It is my current estimate, as somebody who works in this city, that we are at 18,000 units of affordable housing short right now. 18,000 units of unhoused or underhoused. Remember how we talked about this in employment, unemployed and underemployed? The unhoused and the underhoused, I believe we're at about 18,000 units. If we could blink an eye today, Ted Wheeler, and we can have 18,000 units today, that'll handle where we're at today, but that won't handle the growth of next year. 111 people moved here today. 111 people will move here tomorrow. And all of those people, when they come, they drive the prices up. And there's nothing we can do about their coming. But we have to have a new way of managing the housing for these other people. And there's so many ideas and so many things floating around, but damn it, we need action now. Somebody needs to take one of these ideas or 10 of these ideas and implement them and make them work. Take the three that don't work, get rid of them, but keep the seven that do and keep them going and multiply them.
Specifically, something that we've been talking about is rent freeze. So a cap, obviously, to rent. People are experiencing rent hikes that are outrageous, being given a month to pay an extra $500 a month on their already expensive rent is just absurd. And so people on fixed income and Social Security and whatnot, they just can't make it that way. So something has to be done. Mm-hmm. We've also recognized that through this emergency and through having severe weather, that there are not enough warming shelters that open up during inclement weather. And so something else that needs to happen, whether it's through churches or through organizations or through the government, there needs to be more protection for people when something like this happens. We should not be losing people's lives due to hypothermia.
Oh, absolutely. So you've already mentioned this, but just go over it again. What does free hot soup need to grow and meet their needs of the population?
Free hot soup needs a storage facility.
And a kitchen.
It would be wonderful if our new mayor, Ted Wheeler, who I have a lot of hope for right now, would provide us with a place, a big closet. We don't need a shelter. We can arrange that to happen. We need a place to sort the coats. We need a place with washing machines to wash the coats. We need a place to store the socks and the tampons and all of the things that all of our generous, wonderful, beautiful community, they give us. And then maybe a place to cook some soup, some place that we can have, you know, a health department inspection from time to time. A commercial kitchen would be great. We need a large closet. We need a kitchen, and we need them now. But we're doing this out of pocket.
Could people just find you on Facebook, Google you? How could they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Free Hot Soup is a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Free Hot Soup Mobile, where we take things directly to the people. Mm-hmm. That's also on Facebook. You'll find a few pages, but all of the pages are arteries of the main page of Free Hot Soup, which was, of course, started by Benji. The Free Hot Soup Mobile, I believe, was started by Wendy. And you know, now we have a lot of volunteers coming in. This hopefully will bring more volunteers in. We're going to all have to figure out how to organize all of that.
And hopefully someone will open their doors and either partner with us for a kitchen and storage space.
Oh. It looks like we're running out of time. But thank you so much for coming in. We'll be right back. You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jack Petz, Tom Flynn, and Ray Bodwell. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, and on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Robert Barncourt. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday, on KBOO at 7, it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Ani and Lynn will welcome your calls on Positively Revolting. At 9, on Veterans Voice, a call to end the military-industrial complex. Plus, Angie and Marvin look at what the effects of a Trump presidency will mean for veterans. And at 10, we begin our special Inauguration Day special coverage, Voices of a Nation, a Call to Action. Reports, protests, rallies, and walkouts from across the nation and world. Live broadcast from Austin, Chicago, Denver, Lansing, London, New York, San Francisco, and more. All voicing what this moment in our history means to citizens. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one easily by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Robert.
Good night, Matthew.
Good night. You are listening to KBOO